Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Samech Vav, and we are at the Mishnah on daf Kuf Samech Hei Yomid Beis, moving along, Perek Get Pashut. So again, we're in the last Perek, the very final stretch of Masechtas Bava Basra. Perek Get Pashut deals with the laws of Shtaris, but the more technical laws of Shtaris. As mentioned, the Ikr Sugyas of Shtaris, the Lundish Sugyas of Shtaris are in Perek Ishish and Nesamullah, second Perek in Masechtas Ksubas, Masechtas Gittin deals with a lot of the laws of Shtaris, sprinkled into Nashim Nezikin. This is an entire Perek that deals with the laws of Shtaris, but more of a technical note. So this would be the guide to the scribes, to the cipher. If you're a cipher, you'd want to learn Perek Get Pashut just to logistically and technically know how to do your trade. Either way, Zok the Mishnah Kasev Boy, Zuzin Meyo De Inun Slotin Esrin. If there was a document that read as follows: Reuven loaned money to Shimon. How much money? 100 Zuzin, which equals 20 Slotin. Now, the truth is that 20 Slotin equals not 100 Zuzin, it equals 80 Zuzin, because there are 4 Zuzin in each sella. So in other words, there was a mistake. The math was wrong. It said 100 Zuzin, which are 20 slum. So what's the halacha? How much money should we assume Reuven loaned Shimon? Did he loan him 100 Zuzin, which is really 25 slum? Or did he loan him 20 slum, which is really 18 Zuzin? So the halacha is only ala esrim Zuzin. He only gets 20, meaning he gets the 20 slum. He does not get the 25 slum. So the lender is going to end up being able to collect less money. What if it says Zuzin Meod Inun Talsin slum? Again, it was a mistake. It said 100 Zuzin, which are 30 slum, when in reality 100 Zuzin equals 25 slum. 30 slum would equal 120 Zuzin. So again, there was a mistake in the arithmetic. In lo yelo mana, he gets mana, which is 100 Zuzin. The point is that the lender is always going to be able to collect the lesser of. So if they're $2 amounts, he gets the lesser, and the reason, says the Rashbam, is because Yad Bal Hashtar Ala Tachtoina, because if there's a suffix, how much money I'm allowed to take from you, I end up getting the lesser amount, Hamitzim Mechaveroi, Olav HaRai. What if it says Kesef Zuzin De Inun? It says that Reuven loaned Shimon Kesef Zuzin, so it was Zuzin made out of Kesef, and then when it said De Inun, it's supposed to say the amount, it was left blank. V'nimchak, ein pachas mishnayim. So he ends up getting 2 Zuzin, because it says Zuzin Lashon Rabin. So we know it's not one, it's in the plural. The question is, how much? You're going to give him the least amount. What's the miut of Rabin? It's always Shnayim. What if it said Kesef Slotim De'inun? So again, Kesef, we know it's silver. It says Slotim, so we know it's more than one, but it doesn't say the amount. V'nimchak, ein pachas mishnayim. Again, it's going to be 2, because we know it's plural, so it has to be more than one. We don't know how many. Hamoitzim echaveroi, all of a raya, yad ba lashtar ala tachtoi. No, he's going to end up getting the lesser amount. Darkoinois de'inon. What if it said darkoinois? Darkoinois were made out of gold. V'nimchak, and then it said nothing. So again, we don't know how many darkoinois. Same exact idea in Pachas Mishnayim. So the theme of all these halachas mentioned are the same. What if there were conflicting amounts mentioned in the shtar? So the top part of the shtar said that Reuven loaned Shimon a mana, and then the bottom part of the shtar, it said that Reuven loaned Shimon Masayim, or Milmailo Masayim Milamata Mana. If it said on the top part of the shtar it was Masayim on the bottom, it said Mana. Hakol Hoylich Achra Tachtem. Here already there's a chiddush. Here we don't say it's the lesser amount. But if there's a contradiction in the shtar between the top part of the shtar and the bottom part of the shtar, Hakol Hoylich Achra Tachtem, we resolve it by saying that the second amount mentioned, the one mentioned on the bottom of the shtar, that's the main one. So if you would look at a shtar, I mean, the closest thing we ever get to seeing the shtaris of once upon a time is Kriyas Ksuba, that's said under the chuppah. But all shtaris read somewhat similar to Kriyas Ksuba. Kriyas Ksuba is not a spiritual holy document, it's just a contract. It's an agreement that read like sale and purchase agreements used to read once upon a time. So you would have on the top part of the shtar, the Torah, it would mention all the pertinent information, the name of the malva, the name of the loiva. You'd have the zman, you'd have the amount, you'd have the place where the loan took place. And then on the bottom, there was like a chazara. We would review the key points. So if there was a contradiction between what was mentioned in the top part of the document and the bottom, which is where the key points of the agreement are reviewed, hakol hoylich achara tachtoin, because we assume that maybe there was a change of heart, and whatever it says on the bottom, That's the one that's going to prevail. Im kein lama kois v'nasa elyon. So the Mishnah says that if there's a contradiction between the elyon and the tachton, we're always going to assume the elyon. What's the tachton? So what's the point in even having the elyon? Says the Mishnah, it serves a purpose. Shem tichok, ois achas mina tachton, yumin mina elyon. It's good to have the elyon, because what if you're missing a letter in the tachton? So you're not 100% sure what it says in the tachton. So you could always cross-reference by using the elyon. But really, the elyon doesn't serve that much of a purpose, because there always is going to be a tachton, and if there's a contradiction between the tachton and the elyon, we're always going to go based on what it says in the tachton, to the point that the Mishnah doesn't understand. Im kein lama kois v'nasa elyon. What do you need the elyon for? The answer is, it does serve a little bit of a purpose. Shem timachik ois aches mina tachton, yom eid mina elyon. Tanu rabbanan. Omar kesef. Let's say there was a shtar. Reuven loaned Shimon money. How much money? Kesef. Okay, be a little bit more specific, please. But that's what it says. It says kesef. Ein pachas midinar kesef. So then, we assume that it was one in the singular, one dinar of kesef. What if it says kesef dinarin, or it says dinarin kesef? So now there's already a plural. There's a lashon rabin. In the first case, it just said kesef. That's in the singular. Here it said kesef dinarin, dinarin kesef. So dinarin now suggests that it's more than just one dinar kesef. We know it's more than one. We don't know that it's more than two. Thus, ein pachas mishnei dinarim kesef. That was essentially one of the halachas mentioned in the Mishnah. Kesef bidinarim. What if it says that Reuven loaned Shimon kesef bidinarim? So then the halacha is ein pachas mi bishnei dinarim dahav kesef. So the Gemara is going to go into this in greater detail on daf kuf samich vav amid aleph. But pasha pshana, what the Brayis is saying is that if it says the lashon kesef bidinarim, then we assume that the shtar means something a little bit more intricate. And that is that Reuven loaned Shimon kesef. He loaned him silver. That's what it was. How much silver? The amount that's equal to dinarim of zahav. So even though it doesn't say zahav, it said kesef bidinarim. We assume kesef is what was loaned. He gave him kesef. How much kesef? Bidinarim. The amount that's equal to two dinarim of zahav. The Gemara is going to ask later, why are you assuming zahav? As a matter of fact, if the halach is ein amoytze mechaver al varaya and yad balashtar ala tachtoina, and dinarim can mean dinarim of kesef, presumably, or dinarim of zahav, why would we assume that the loan amount was more? Why would you assume that he gave him so much kesef equal to the value of two dinarim of zahav? Shouldn't the theme of Yad Balashtar al Tachtoina, which is our Mishnah and this Braisa that we're going through right now, suggest that we should assume it's the norm of Kesef? So the Gemara is going to discuss that. Either way, let's go through this Braisa. Omamar. The first halacha of the Braisa was Kesef. If there's a shtar chayv that says Reuven loaned Shimon Kesef, ein pachas mi dinar Kesef. We assume that it was one dinar of Kesef. Freit, the Gemara v'ena naska. How do you even know it was a dinar? Maybe it wasn't a dinar. A dinar was a coin. But maybe it wasn't even a coin. Maybe it's just a little brick, a little block, a little bit of silver, as in Naska de Rababa. Maybe it was a Naska. How do you know it's even a coin? Amar Rabba loves it, the Kasabe Matbeya. You have to say, the price is talking about where it said Matbeya Kesef. Oh, Matbeya Kesef. We know it's a coin. What kind of coin? We assume it's a dinar. One, because it's in the singular. Kesef, because it says Kesef. Ve'emo Priti. Maybe it's a coin that's inferior to a dinar. A dinar, let's say, was a quarter. Maybe it's a nickel, maybe it's a dime, maybe it's a penny. It was talking about a place where people did not use, they didn't make prutas out of kesef. In a place where they didn't use the prutas, the penny wasn't in circulation anymore. In a place like that, you'd be no reason to assume that it's priti, you'd assume it's a dinar. Tanu rabbanon, dahav. Ein pachos midinar dahav. Another braisa, very similar braisa. If somebody as of shtar that says Reuven loaned Shimon gold, so we assume that it's in the singular because it doesn't say lashon rabin, it says lashon yachid. We also assume that it's a dinar, dahav dinarim, or the dinarim dahav. So now you added the word dinarim, which suggests already plural. Ein pachis mishnei dinarim dahav. So we assume it's not one dahav, would be singular. Dinarim of dahav or dahav dinarim, that already suggests plural. Dahav bidinarim. That's like that same lashon we had in the previous braisa. Kesef bidinarim. Dahav bidinarim. Ein pachis mi bishnei dinarim kesef dahav. So we assume again, what's mentioned first is what was loaned. He loaned him dahav. He gave him silver. How much silver? Equal to two dinarim of kesef. So just like kesef bidinarim was silver equal to the amount of dinarim of zahav, Zohav bedinorim, dahav bedinorim, is gold equal to the amount of 2 dinarim of silver. Zok the Gemara. Let's go through this price. Amar dahav, ein pachis midinar dahav. Freik the Gemara, emanaska. Doesn't say a golden coin, it says gold. Maybe he gave him a naska of gold. I'm Rabbi Lazar, the cost of matbeya. No, it said matbeya. Ve'ima priti, priti did the havalei avdi entry. There's no pennies made out of gold. That would be an oxymoron. That doesn't make any sense. The prutos that you find, shava pruta, was always made out of kesef. But you don't find prutos made out of gold. So if it says gold, it's pashut, it wasn't a pruta. It must have been at the very least a dinar. Silver, you find that there were prutos made out of silver. There were pennies, there were nickels, there were dimes, there were quarters. So there the Gemara has a good kasha. Then how do you know if it just says a coin? That we mean the quarter. Maybe it was a penny, maybe it was a nickel, maybe it was a dime. So the Gemara has to make it a kimta that the Tana the Braisa lived in a place where those coins weren't in circulation. But with gold, it's more pashit because priti did the hava loy avdi inchi. Zav bidinarim, ein pachis mi bishne dinarim kesef. Freit the Gemara ve'ema da hava pricha bishte dinre da hava kamar. So the Braisa said that if the document said dahav bedinarim, we assume that he gave him gold, that's the first thing mentioned, dahav, but equal to the value of dinarim. What kind of dinarim? Silver. Freik the Gemara, mechitesi. The aim of dahav apricha, maybe he gave him gold. Betray dinri, dahav akamar, equal to the value of 2 dinarim of gold. How do you know dinarim is kesef? It doesn't say anything. Amar Abaya. So Abaya said what everybody would think. Yad balashtar al tachtayna. If I don't know if he gave him gold equal to the amount of 2 dinarim of silver, or if he gave him gold equal to the amount of 2 dinarim of gold, Yad balashtar al tachtayna will tell me that he probably gave him less. Because if you, as a malva, want to be teveya more, hamoitzi mechaber el verat. Yad balashtar al tachtayna is one of the most basic principles of Chesha Mishpat. It's related to Zek Klal Godabadit. So if I don't know if dinar means kesef or it means gold, naturally I'm going to assume that it means gold. But if you're halting cup, what's the kasha with the girsa of the Messiah Sashas? Then in the first price, why don't we say the same thing? The first price that said, where the shtar said kesef bidinarim. So how did we teach kesef bidinarim? He loaned him kesef equal to the value of 2 dinarim of gold. There to say the same thing. Why are you assuming bedinari zahav? Say yad balashtar ala tachtoino. Say amritzi mechaveri ala varaya. So dahav bedinarim, we assume it's zahav equal to 2 dinarim of kesef. Why kesef not zahav? Because yad balashtar ala tachtoino. So kesef bedinarim, say the same thing. That it's kesef equal to the value of 2 dinarim of kesef. And what do we say? Kesef equal to the value of 2 dinarim zav. So it's really 2 kashas. Number one, what's the difference between kesef bedinarim and dahav bedinarim? Why dahav bedinarim do you say gold equal to 2 dinarim of kesef, and kesef bedinarim we say silver equal to 2 dinarim of gold? Kasha number one. What's the difference between the two? Kesef bedinarim and dahav bedinarim. And number two, what's pshat in the first brice of kesef bedinarim? Yad balashtar al tachtoina. Hamoitze mechaver al v'raya says that even in a vacuum, the way you would l'chura, without the stira, the way you would interpret kesef bedinarim should be equal to 2 dinarim of kesef, because otherwise, hamoitze mechaver al v'raya, how do you have a right to say that dinarim meant gold? Maybe dinarim meant silver. That's the Gemara's kash. Ihochi resha nami. I'm Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says you have to edit the first brice. So you have to edit the resha. Resha of the cost. So the way we have the braisa is kesef bidinarim. That's the ratio. Dahav bidinarim is the seifa. So the only difference is kesef and dahav. But both braises had the word dinarim. Says Rav Ashi, in order to make sense, in order to reconcile, you're going to have to say that the real girsa in the first braisa was not kesef bidinarim, but it was kesef bidinri. The seifa is kesef bidinarim. Dinri means gold. Dinarim means silver. So you want to know why in the first brisa we assume it's kesef equal to 2 dinarim of gold, and in the second brisa it's gold equal to 2 dinarim of kesef. It's not the same word. The first brisa he said dinri. Dinri means gold. In the second brisa he said dinarim. Dinarim means silver. Says the Gemara, no, temer deshani ben dinri l'dinarim. How do you know that there's a chilik in Lashon between the word dinri and the word dinarim? The Tanya, it's a brisa. It's really a mishnah, a mesechtes krisos, completely unrelated to anything we've ever talked about. There was a woman that loyaleinu, she miscarried a child 5 times, or safik chamish zivos, she was zav. Or a suffix zava 5 times. So this is a woman that has a suffix that maybe she's a Yoledes, and as a result, she has to bring the Karbonos that a Yoledes has to bring. Or she has a Safik that maybe she's a Zava, and as a result, Zava Gedayla has to bring Karbonos in order for her to be tar. Now, this Safik didn't just happen once, it happened five times. So there were five times where this woman miscarried, and each time there was a Safik whether the child that she miscarried was a Bar Kayama, was not a Bar Kayama, whatever the Shiloh was. There's a Safik right now whether she's a Yeledes and obligated to bring the Karbonos to Yeledes is obligated to bring or not. And the same thing regarding the Zava, five times. So, the halach is, Mevi'a Karbon Echad Eichel. She brings one Karbon and she's allowed to eat Kachem. We'll see what that means in a minute. The Ein Hashar Le'achayv, and she's, the other Karbonos we don't worry about. Hoy Olech Chomish Le'des Vadois. Hoy Chomish Le'des Vadois. Let's say she was Betayrus Vadai Chayiv to bring five Karbonos that a Yoledes has to bring, or five Karbonos that a Zava has to bring. Then the halach is Mevi'a Karbon Echad, Va'icheles Bezvachim, Va'ashar Ole'achayv. She brings one carbon, that allows her to eat the kachim, and the other ones she's going to have to bring as well. Now, when a Yoledes used to bring a carbon, and when a Zava used to bring a carbon, the carbon fulfilled two purposes. Number one, it's a chiyuv. Just like someone that's Mechal Shabbos B'shoigik has to bring a carbon chatas, just like someone that's born a Shifcha Charufa has to bring a carbon asham, a Yoledes has a chayvas carbonis. She has to bring carbonis. A Zava has to bring carbonis. So it's an obligation. It's a mitzvah deraisa, just like any other obligation. Just like any mitzvah deraisa. Just like every yid had to bring a carbon Pesach on Yudal and Nisan and Erev Pesach. So too, different people would have to bring carbonis based on different things that happened to them in their lives. A Yoledes had to bring a carbon, and a Zava had to bring a carbon. So the first reason that the carbon was brought was simply to fulfill a mitzvah, a chiyuv deraisa, to fulfill an obligation. But a Yoledes and a Zava had to bring a carbon for another reason. Because until a Yoledes brings a carbon, until a Zava brings a carbon, she's called, in Kachem terminology, a Mechusa Kippurim. She doesn't have complete Taira. A Yoledes is Tame. A Zava is Tame. And in order for her to complete her Taira, she would have to bring a carbon. So if somebody, for example, is a Balkari, someone becomes Tame Tomasheret, he could become Tahar without bringing a carbon. There are certain people that were Tame, and in order for them to be Tahar from their Toma, they would have to bring a carbon. A Yoledes would have to bring a carbon. A Zava would have to bring a carbon. Says this Mishnah, the very important halacha. Someone that's a Yoledes five times over, and for whatever reason, she didn't bring a carbon yet, so she has a chiyuv right now to bring five karbonos Yoledes, or she's a Zava five times over. In order for her to be able to eat kachem, she wouldn't have to bring all five karbonos. As long as she brings one, she becomes Tahar, she's no longer Mechusa Kippurim, she's allowed to go now, she's allowed to eat kachem. But at the same time, she does have an obligation times five in order to bring the karbonos. So if you ask this Yoledes, who had five babies and still hasn't brought a karbon, does she have to bring five or not? The answer is yes. Why? Because she has five obligations of karbon. It's no different than someone that was Mechal Shabbos B'shoigik five times. That if it wasn't Behel Mechad, this person would have to go bring five chatois. She had five babies, she needs to bring five karbonos. But as it relates to the second function that a carbon Yoledes has, and that a carbon Zav has, and that is that it allows the Bala carbon, the Balasa carbon in this case, to be able to eat kachem, for that one would be enough. She'd be Ois Mechusa Kippurim, she would be Tahar, she'd be rain, she'd be pure, as long as she brings one. Where does it happen afkamina? It happens in afkamina if you have a Safik. That's the Mishnah. So if someone's a Vada Yoledes, a Vada Zava, times five, bring five carbonos, you can eat kachem after one, but you for sure should bring the other four. If she's only a Safik, and then we say that being that you don't need all five in order to be Tahar, one is already enough. Once you bring one, you're not a Mechusa Kippurim anymore. We don't want you to bring the other four. Being that it's a Safik, Misafik, don't bring the carbon. The reason Misafik, we want you to bring the carbon, so if you take a look in the Rashbam, if you take a look in the Rishonim, it's related to the idea that a Yoledes brought a Chatas Ha'oif. A Chatas Ha'oif, they used to do Malika, right? And the Oifos in the Beis HaMikdash weren't Shachut, they were Nimlak. They used to do Malika. Malika is a very chashav avoida. Shechita is Ksher Bazar, but Malika was an avoida. A Zar that did Malika was Chai Misa. It was considered an avoida, but at the same time, the Chatas Oif was Nechal. Being that it had Malika, not Shechita, it's a Shtikol Nevela, Because usually, in order to make something not nevela, you'd have to do shchitas. It's a chiddush atoyrim likasay zui shchitasay. It works, but the bottom line is, it's a bidiyeved. We don't want to rely on it misafik. So, being that you don't need it for the tyra, we'd rather not. But either way, that's the mishnah. Very straightforward mishnah. Somebody that's pateres vade chayev five zivos, five karbonos yeledes. That loch is bring all five. Someone that's misafik, bring one. Why? Because one is anyways enough to allow you to become tar, not to be mechusik purim, to be able to eat kachim. So misafik, there's no reason to bring the other four. Maisa. The mishnah continues. Where there were women that heard this halacha and they realized they had a lot of obligations. They owed a lot of karbonos. So they quickly went, they started buying up all the kinim, all the birds. That's what you need in order to bring this carbon. And the amdu kinim b'Yerushalayim didn't raise up. The price of the birds went up. Reb Shimon Gamliel. Reb Shimon Gamliel said, Hamoin hazeh. He swore in the name of the Beis HaMikdash. Im olin halayla. I will not go to sleep tonight. Ad sheyiyu b'dinar. Until the price of the kinim go down in price. Because there was this huge demand for it all of a sudden. It was going up. People couldn't afford it. And it was a problem. So Rabbi Gamliel went, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and he issued this phenomenal psak. Nichnas lebez nevelimit. Ha'isha shayolev chamesh leidas vadois. Ha'chamesh zivois vadois. Mevi'a korban echad. Va'oicheles bezvachin. Ve'en ashar alev chayva. So till now the halacha was, if pateres vada, you have to bring five zivois and five yoldis, what do? You have to bring all five. It's only misafik, you know. But being that when people heard this, they started running to buy karbanos. And the price of the birds went up, and it was affecting Klal Yisrael, where it counts in the wallet. So it was for that reason, Rav Shimon Gamliel went, and he made this kula. He says, I don't want you to go ahead and do it. What does this have to do with Masechtas Bava Basra? Your parent gets poshut. There's one detail there. There's just one detail. You know what you see? Rav Shimon Gamliel said, Hamoyin hazeh, the amdu kinim b'Yerushalayim didn't raise up. When people started buying it up, what happened to the price of the kinim? They were oymed, it went up, it cost literally dinrei zahav. And what did Rav Shimon Gamliel say? I'm not going to go to sleep until it goes down to dinarin. So by zahav, he used the word dinrei. By kesef, which was the lower price that he wanted it to go down to, he used the word dinarin. So it says the Gemara, minah temra. How do I know? Dishani bein dinri le dinarim. How do you know there's a difference between dinri and dinarim? I know it from this Mishnah. Because when this Mishnah described the inflated, exaggerated price of the kinim, it was so expensive, it cost the amount of gold. It used the word dinri, and when it went down, it uses a lashon of dinarim. So going back to this shtar, if you have a shtar that says kesef bedinri, that was Rav Ashi's edit to the brisa. Kesef bedinri means dinrei zav, because dinrei zav, dinri is always the word used when related to zav. If it would say faker, it would say dahav bedinarim. Dinarim is alamol kesef. Mishnah said kesef milmaila. If there was a contradiction in the shtar between the top part of the shtar and the bottom part of the shtar, hakol hoylech achar tachon. So even though the theme of the Mishnah is Hamoitze mechaveri all of a raya, yad balashtar ala tachtoina. However, if there's a contradiction between the elyon and the tachtoin, so there the rule is different. There the rule is not sofik mamin, but we know for sure what's going on. We assume that the seifer was chayzer or the bali dover was chayzer, and whatever it says in the tachtoin, that's what's going to be. Tanu rabbanu yilmai da tachtoin min elyon ba'os achas avoloi b'shtei oisiyos. So on this note, a related halacha. What if there's a contradiction in the name of one of the bali dover between the elyon, the top part, and the bottom part, and the difference, the contradiction, is ois achas. For example, chanon mechanoni. So on the top it says chanoni, and on the bottom it says chanon. Or the onon me'anoni. Or if on the top part of the shtar it says that the borrower was anoni, and on the bottom part of the shtar it says that the borrower was really onon. So the halach is that we assume that it's really chanoni, it's really anoni. Why does it say chanon and onon on the bottom? But ois achas, it could be yilmoid hatachtoin mina elyon. We're learning from the elyon to what the tachtoin really is. We assume the sefer made a mistake. He accidentally left out an ois achas. So the bottom line is, the malva, he wants to collect money. Could he go to chanon or could he go to chanoni? So if it says in the elyon chanoni and the bottom it says chanon, there's one letter missing. The assumption is chanoni is the borrower, anoni is the borrower. Why does it say chanon on the bottom, anon on the bottom? He must have made a mistake by isachas. However, the brisa says, yumay datachtoin mino elyon by isachas, avoloi b'shtei isias. But now with two oisias. So if it would be off by two oisias, so for example, if it would say chanoni on top, and then it would say chen on the bottom, or anoni on the top, and it would say ein on the bottom, or let's say Nachman on top and then Noyach on the bottom, right? More common names. So there, the halacha is b'shtei oisias. You would assume that it's not a tois. Says the Gemara, "Maish b'shtei oisias d'loy." Why do you buy two oisias? Are we so confident that the sefer for sure didn't make a mistake? Dilma misrami shemben arba oisias v'avoli palgo d'shma. The way the Rashbam explains it is because there are times where you'll have a name that's made up of four letters, which means that if the sefer accidentally left out two of the letters, he will have left out half the name. And sefer don't do that. You're never going to leave out half the name. So two oisias, which could sometimes represent half of the shem, a sefer will be careful of. And it's for that reason, he will never ever, even if it's a smaller name, a larger name, even if the name has 10 oisias, it doesn't matter. He's never going to leave out two oisias. Because leaving out two oisias is something that he's very cognizant of. Why? Because what if two oisias is half the name? What if it's Nachman and I leave out two oisias, I left out half the name? So even if the name is Yekasiel, or it's a longer name, it doesn't matter. He's still not going to leave out two oisias. So two oisias, we assume that the sefer is very careful of, and he's never going to leave out two oisias. Based on that methodology, we should assume that a sefer is going to be very careful, nervin, not to leave out even a noyach. There are names that are made up of like noyach. It's two oisias. So you should say the same exact svara, same logic. A sefer will never leave out a noyach. Why? Because even if this is a one ois out of a name that has 14 oisias, who cares? But sometimes it can be one ois out of a name that has two oisias. And there, that would be paul gedeshmo. Well, half a name, no way. So don't touch it. The Gemara says, oh, you have to say the chilul shtei oisias. Hainu time edumas rami shem ben shloish oisias. You might find a name that's three oisias, like Levi, for example, three oisias. And if you're going to leave out two, havalei ruba deshmo, you will have left out roiv of the name. But if you leave out one, one will never be roiv of the name. That's not possible, right? It's not possible. The most it could be is half, if it's a shem ben shtei oisias. So roiv, that to say, I don't want to leave out most of the name. So two, he never leaves by mistake. So if you see that it's off by two oisias, you're not going to assume that there's a toy cipher over here. As opposed to one, there you're going to assume it's a toy cipher. And one final halacha, amar papa pshitali, seifel milmala. If on the top part of the shtar, it says that Reuven gave Shimon as a pekodon a seifel. And then on the bottom, it says he gave him a kefel. So the top, it says it with a samach, and the bottom, it says with a kof. Which one is it? Whatever it says on the bottom. So that was Pashat Rapa. But what wasn't Pashat Rapa was, what if it's in the reverse? What if it says kefel no malo, feseifel no matas? It says it with a kof on top, and it says it with a samach on the bottom. This is kefel, for those listening, with a kof, not with a kof, as in tashlu made kefel. So kefel no malo, v'sefel no matamai, michai shinon lizvuv olay. What's the tzad? He sort of pop ahead, a far-fetched tzad. He said, maybe really, being that it says kefel no malo, he meant for it to say kefel no mata as well. Why is there a samach? Because as the sefer was writing, before the ink had a chance to dry, a zvuv came, it went on top of this wet ink, and it erased some of the ink. So it ends up looking like sefel. But really, what it was supposed to be was a kefel. So the foot, the bottom of the end of the kuf, I was going to say the end of the kuf, so the bottom of the kuf somehow got knocked out. Either way, my, what's the halacha? Says the Gemara, teku, tishbi, yitaretz, kushis, ve'arboyes. So we're not going to, unfortunately, speak out Chumash Torah this week, but I'll just give you a Taya Melv, what the Chumash Torah might have been. And that is that this week, hey, listen, this week, one of the themes of the Daf was Lashon Hara. So we had Avak Lashon Hara, the Kulon Bavak Lashon Hara. We had the idea of La'olam al-yisaper adam b'tevasoi shal chaveroi, she'mitoich tevasoi boli dei ro'asoi. So it's very important for a person to be careful, even the tevasoi shal chaveroi, which the Rambam includes in his avak lashon hara. That's what avak lashon hara is. The lashon hara is so chomer that you even have to be careful when it comes to avak lashon hara. We mentioned the chesidah shetayich, eila hadvarim, asher diber moish al kol yisrael. The beginning of Parshas Dvarim, which begins, Rashi says, with the Teichacha that HaKadosh Baruch was giving to Klal Yisrael. Shtaitin Sfurim HaKadoshim, Eile is Rosh HaTevis, Avak Loshen Hara. Eile is Dvarim HaShadibim HaYishal Klal Yisrael. That was relevant to all of Klal Yisrael. Not all Teichacha is relevant to all Klal Yisrael. Different people have different Nisyonis. They're Nichshol, they stumble in different Averas. But Eile, Avak Loshen Hara, which the Gemara says above a Basra Kuf Samechei, V'kulon Ba'avak Loshen Hara, that's Dvarim HaShadibim HaYishal Klal Yisrael. That's something that's relevant. That's something that's relevant to everybody. But either way, Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is, as we know, very, very chomer. Chafetz Chaim quotes the Yerushalmi in Masechtas Peah that just like when it comes to mitzvahs asay, the Talmud Torah keneged kulam, so too when it comes to mitzvahs leis asay, Lashon Hara is keneged kulam. So you have all the mitzvahs, all wonderful, but the Talmud Torah is keneged kulam. When it comes to leis asays, you have all the leis asays. You have Chil Shabbos, you have Avodah Zarah, you have Gilui Arayis, you have Shvichas Damim, but the Lashon Hara is keneged kulam. You have this idea, the Chafetz Chaim brings, B'shem Dezoyer HaKadosh, that when a person speaks Lashon Hara, that gives the Mekatrig and Shemayim the ability to do his thing, and to be Mekatrig, and to speak his Lashon Hara on Klal Yisrael. As if to say that if Klal Yisrael wouldn't speak Lashon Hara, there'd be no way for the Mekatrig to have his day in court, to be able to prosecute the Yidden. The only reason the Mekatrig and Shemayim has an ability to make his case against the Jewish people, it's because we speak Lashon Hara, and that's what empowers the Mekatrig up in Shemayim. Chafetz Chaim talks about how when we say that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, Lashon Hara plays into Sinas Chinam, so it's the cause of Churban Bayis Sheni, it's the reason that we're in Gaul today. But it's interesting that on the mitzvahs Aseh side, it's the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. On the mitzvahs Lois Aseh side, it's Lashon Hara Keneged Kulam. What's the common denominator between Talmud Torah and Lashon Hara? I mean, they're very different. But what's the common denominator between Talmud Torah Keneged and Lashon Hara? They're both things that a person does with his mouth. They're both things that a person does with it. You learn Torah, maybe you can throw your hands around and the fingers, but at the end of the day, when you learn Torah, you're learning with your pen. You're learning with your mouth. A person that speaks Lashon Hara with his pen. Chafetz Chaim says that it's not a coincidence. It's daika, because Talmud Torah is done with the Lashon, it's done with the peh, and Lashon Hara is spoken with the Lashon, spoken with the peh, that they're both keneged kula. Because a person's guf is a davar gashmi. It's a nefesh abahami. But at the same time, each yid, each person perhaps, has in him a chelak alikamimah. And the chelak alikamimah says in Targum Unkelis, Vayipach ba'apach nishmas chayim, a person became a ruach memalala. The koyach hadibur, that's something that comes from the neshama. So it says the Chafetz Chaim, that being that the koyach hadibur is a koyach ruchni, it comes from the metaphysical part that every person has, it's a lot more powerful. It has nuclear capabilities. So you're walking around as a regular person who's a Ish Gashmi. And being that you're an Ish Gashmi, and Gashmius is finite, so the ramifications of what you do are also finite. They're potent, they're powerful, but they're finite. But the Koyach HaDibur, the Koyach HaLashon that a person has, comes from the infinite part that a person has. That's something that's infinite. As a result, the ramifications are infinite as well. So if a person doesn't have air with his hand, with his foot, he doesn't have air with his goof, the ramifications of the Avera are somewhat limited because it was done with an Aver Gashmi. But if you do an Avera with your mouth, now you're doing an Avera with an Aver Ruchni, much more powerful. Much more powerful. And the same as Mitzvah HaMitzvah. You do a mitzvah with your hands, with your foot, you go here, you do that. It's wonderful. But if you do a mitzvah with your Aver Ruchni, a lot more powerful. So Talmud Torah is keneged kulam. Why? Because you're using your Eiver Ruchni for a Dover Shabbat Kedusha. Lashon Hara is keneged kulam. Why? Because you're using your Eiver Ruchni for a Dover Shel Tumah. You're using it for a Dvar Aveira. But the point is that every person has inside of him this reactor, this nuclear reactor that has unbelievable capabilities. You have a Koyach Ruchni inside of you, and depending on how you channel it, depending on how you use it, that could play itself out different. What does it have to do with this week's parasha? Because in this week's parasha, Balak hires Bilam. He commissions him as a hitman to go and take out Klal Yisrael. And how was he going to take out Klal Yisrael? He was going to curse Klal Yisrael. He was going to be Mekalim. And Balak, when he meets him, he tells him, I've heard about you, right? He shows him his resume, Bilam does. And he says, whoever you give brachas to, the brachas work out. And whoever you give klolas to, the klolas work out. And Emes is, if you think about it, what's this koyach of a klol? How exactly does a klol work? If you look in the Sefer HaChinuch, it's a mitzvah Reish Lamed Aleph. It's by the mitzvah Sloisa Seishlo Lekalol Echad Miyisrael Bein Ish V'Isha. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, V'ef Shaloi Ma'alonu Lefi Anias Datenu Ki B'yoy Sanefesh HaMedaber Shabodim Chilak El Yoyni. Because being that the Koyach HaDibur is a Koyach Ruchni. U'kumay Shakosu V'ayipach Ba'apov Nishmas Chayim. V'targum Unkelis L'ruach Memalola Nosam B'Koyach Rav Lifoil Afilu B'mashu Chutz Mimeno. He said the yisoid of the koyach of a bracha and the yisoid of a koyach of a klal is the same exact thing. It's a person being able to manipulate this weapon that he has. It's a weapon of mass destruction. That's exactly what it is. And you can use it for the good. You can use it for the bad. You can use it for the good. You can give people bracha, says the chinuch. You can use it for the bad. You can give people klalos. And the more tapped in a person is to be able to use that koyach ruchni that he has, the more potent his brachas are going to be. The more potent his klalos are going to be. So Bilam apparently had this unbelievable koyach. The Gemara says in Brachas Daf Zayin Aleph, we mentioned this week as well, that the special koyach that Bilam had was that he knew the moment that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. So Kumi, it's not so much that he knew how to use this WMD. So power, but it was more that he knew the moment that if anybody uses it, it would be very powerful. But either way, that's the koyach that a person has. And the chinuch says something unbelievable. Right? The Gemara says, Altihi birchas hadid kalu b'necho. And the Gemara says, Altihi kehillas hadid kalu b'necho. He says, what's the pshat? Because every single person has this koyach. Everyone has it. The yisoid of the koyach of bracha and the yisoid of the koyach of klala is the ruchni, it's the kedusha of the Ruach Ramal, of the Koyach HaDibur. Everyone has a Koyach. If you can talk, you have a Koyach HaDibur. It doesn't matter who you are. Everyone has it. It's true, there are people that have a better Koyach. They're more in tune. They could be Mechavim the Shois a little bit better. So different people know how to manipulate these things a little bit better. But at the end of the day, the Yisoid of a Bracha is Koyach HaDibur. The Yisoid of a Klala is Koyach HaDibur. So just like any guy who speaks Lashon Hara is Lashon Hara is Lashon Hara. Any person that learns Torah is Torah is Torah. Any person that gives a bracha is bracha is a bracha. Any person that gives a klala is klala is a klala. Now it's true, it's not on the same level. It's not on the same level. But at the same time, Alti Bracha Sayyidi Kalabinacho, Alti Kila Sayyidi Kalabinacho. Just like a Pashti that learns Torah, maybe his Torah is not on the same level as Rabbi Moshe Feinstein learned Torah, when the Chazanish learned Torah. It's probably not on the same level, it's true. But at the same time, it is Torah. He is Mekayim Mitzvah, say the rise of Talmud Torah, and there is an idea of a Talmud Torah, Kineged Kulam. Either way, the theme of Lashon Hara and the theme of Brachas and Klalos is all the same. I think the takeaway is that we all have this unbelievable Koyach, Ruchni, that's inside our very physical being. That's the Koyach HaDibur. If you use it for the good things, whether it's learning Torah, making somebody feel good, right? We spoke in the Gemara, Lo'ilu ma'yisapra adam b'shvachah shakavera. Lo'ilu ma'yisapra, that doesn't mean you're not supposed to give people compliments, you're not supposed to make people feel good. So about that, at the same time, there is an idea of making people feel right. Look, we spoke this week about being ma'alu b'nei chaver b'rabim. It's the most horrible thing. Could be even bittul Torah, it doesn't come to being ma'alu b'nei chaver b'rabim. So if it's so terrible to be ma'alu b'nei chaver b'rabim, meruba toivah is Mida Toiv is Meruba Midas Peronius. It would make sense that if somebody goes up a rabbi and makes somebody feel good, you can imagine what the schar is. So the Koyach HaDibur, it's a Chayim V'Amovis B'Yad HaLoshin. Either way, we'll end on that.